The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you on the Trumpet Daily Radio Program. I'm your guest host, Andrew Loker, bringing you the program today live from Edmond, Oklahoma, on our campus here. Dwight Falk is with me in the studio today, as most of our staff is actually off catching a quick break before a very busy December. It's always an honor to be given some time here on this program from Stephen Fleury, and I'm sure he'll be back with us next week. We do appreciate your feedback, as we often say, so please do email that in to td@kpcg.fm. It was nice to hear Mr. McDonald yesterday with the program, really a great way to start Thanksgiving by getting the right foundation. And it is excellent to learn to be thankful and to be reminded about, what we need to really be most mindful of on this Thanksgiving break that we do enjoy. Well, since last time I was with you on this program, my family visited our sister campus at Edstone, and it was really a great break to get back there. Got to see my daughter, which was nice, but also just to take note of all the improvements at the Edstone campus. So much has changed. There are quite a few little projects and then some really significant projects, the soccer pitch, the just cleaning up the tennis court, the landscaping, all the interior work, cleaning up even the outside of the building that prior to being cleaned, really it didn't look that bad. But now it's really just a stunning piece of architecture and beautiful landscape out there in Edstone. I was able to visit or see the new radio studio. And it's quite a step up from the dungeon where Stephen Fleury used to give the program. We have very capable members, employees, students that have done just really a remarkable job at Edstone, from landscaping or carpentry, feeding the staff from the kitchen, serving the needs of the brethren and the subscribers throughout Britain and into Europe. It really is a great family and a wonderful team over there. We were there for the Feast of Tabernacles, and during that time, we had two baptisms on campus at Edstone, and that's always super uplifting. It's a great reminder of what this work is about, and to watch those young people commit their lives to God as they have after really studying and repenting, as we heard a few weeks ago through a series of programs. It just does really reinforce the purpose of what we're all doing. I was also able to meet with some of our new members from Germany, the Netherlands, throughout the United Kingdom, and it's always very encouraging to hear their stories, their tremendous faith, their patience, their perseverance, and for those that don't speak English as their primary language, coming to the knowledge of the truth is quite challenging, but we do have a growing inventory of literature to help bring them along quite a bit more now than we've had in the past. The foreign language translation program of the church is basically headquartered out of Edstone. And again, just a lot of effort in the last year or two. And you see the fruits of that through these new members and people attending from all over Europe. We are experiencing growth, and that's always, again, a very good sign. I was pulling a report together for Mr. Gerald Fleury, and it just kind of struck me again that this is a global work. We have members attending the PCG from 53 different nations around the world, Trumpet subscribers in quite a few more nations than that. I'm sorry I wasn't able to pull that specific statistic. That's a tongue twister. I wasn't able to get those numbers this morning. I'll bring that on another show. But I did visit the trumpet.com website. We use an analysis piece of software, and it tells us how many people come from different locations geographically or where they were on the internet prior to visiting our webpage. And so I just pulled Tuesday of this week, just kind of picked a random day and looked at things. And we had 147 different nations or individuals from those nations visit our website. The top 10 sites or locations that came to thetrumpet.com are pretty much what you'd expect: the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, South Africa, Philippines, New Zealand, India, Nigeria, Germany. You carry on down the list, you see you had visitors from Pakistan, Japan, Vietnam, Israel. This is just kind of in descending order, but still not giving you every country here. We had visitors from China, Saudi Arabia, the Russian Federation, Turkey, Lebanon, Namibia. Let me carry on here just down toward the bottom of the list. It's kind of interesting. From Qatar, St. Lucia, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Albania. You just go on down through the list. 147 different nations, individuals from those nations came and visited our website. Now, I'll give you a few details about what's been taking place in the work for just even in the past week, really. And after I do that, we'll take a short break here. But it has been an active week on campus. Perhaps most notable, or one of the very exciting events that we get to do here in Edmond, is to host world-class concerts at Armstrong Auditorium. The Vienna Boys Choir performed this last week. It was a either sold-out or nearly sold-out event, very popular. And I love to see the campus just filled with cars. You see all the traffic streaming into campus. And we get to enjoy the beautiful music that's performed here. They spent the next day, the Vienna Boys Choir did, they spent the next day on campus playing basketball. They enjoyed the Kruger's world-class catering before they left. We had almost 760 people in attendance at the concert. And again, it's one of our most popular of the year. And actually, it's a profitable concert for us. We've said many times before that the foundation or the church that backs the foundation, we subsidize the concert series. And there are a couple events that actually turn a profit, which then help us to subsidize some of the other events. And so this was really something I like to see when we actually are subsidizing less or even maybe making a small profit on that particular event. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, Stephen Fleury talked about the Thanksgiving ball held at both campuses this last week. It's a time for fine dining and mediocre dancing. My wife would love to dance more, but after 22 years of marriage, I told her it's now too late for her to learn how to dance. So my skills will go unused. I'm over 50 years old now, and there's very little hope for me to demonstrate my skills for the students. So we sit and watch, and we enjoy conversation with those in attendance. Moving on to another more important event, Gerald Fleury's latest coworker letter is being processed and mailed today and into next week as well. In it, he offers two new booklets, A Pivotal Sign of the End Time and How God Values Music, two excellent books that you should make sure you download, or you'll receive a copy in the mail if you make a request. That letter is being mailed to 9,890 people in the United States today, and again, probably will bleed over a little bit into Monday. The editorial department just came off a trumpet week. They invest quite a few hours to prepare each one of those issues. The January 2019 edition for print was sent to the printer last week. It's available now on our website. It has a picture of Angela Merkel on the cover. And there's articles in there from Mr. Fleury about Germany in prophecy and France in prophecy. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. The print order was 265,500 copies. So over 265,000 copies were ordered to be sent out. Those numbers have increased with the new waiting room program, reinforcing that program. The Toronto Subway Distribution Program continues to put out over 20,000 copies of the print edition into the greater Toronto area each month. And we've had a strong month of response to the Key of David program as well. Speaking of the waiting room, we're actively calling various medical offices, doctor's offices, to see if they're interested in a free subscription. That's ongoing now in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. We have an active print media advertising campaign going on in Ireland, as you know, in the lead up to Stephen Fleury's next campaign message that he'll be giving in Belfast. We're also working on the schedule for Gerald Fleury's 2019 season of campaigns, and more details will be coming out on those locations throughout the next couple weeks as we start to settle in on some of those cities. Gerald Fleury taped a program last Wednesday, just a couple days ago. And in a sense, you could say it was a follow-up program to Trump versus Macron in Bible Prophecy. That's the program that aired this past week, or excuse me, that will air this weekend. My days are thrown off because of the Thursday break we had. So we have a new program coming out from Gerald Fleury entitled Trump versus Macron in Bible Prophecy. And that one we taped just a couple days ago is entitled France in Bible Prophecy. Both are really interesting. And as you know, they give you a perspective you won't hear anywhere else in the world. And what's amazing is it's the most profound, right to the core, important reason that things are happening. And it tells you where we're going, Mr. Fleury does, on the Key of David program or in the Trumpet magazine. Both feature stories or programs that help educate us into what we should be watching and what we should be taking in. One last event that I wanted to focus on here is the rapidly approaching 2018-2019 Ministerial Conference. That is a conference that's hosted at the headquarters campus here in Edmond, and where nearly all of our ministers gather for instruction. We have fellowship opportunities. It's really just a strong motivation pushing us into the new year. These conferences take place every 18 months here. And during the conference, we receive about 34 hours of instruction from our pastor general, from the evangelists or regional directors, and then there's a few other ministerial department heads that speak. 34 hours of instruction. The ministers that attend come from 10 different nations this year. The ministry, it's both the minister and his wife, and some bring their families. Really is a very uplifting event. It's tiring for our students. They put in a lot of work. It's their winter break, but we work them pretty hard in serving the ministry so that the ministers then can go out and serve and give to the people. At the midway point of the conference, we'll enjoy a performing arts showcase that Mr. Malone is putting together. Ms. Paris Turgeon, Ms. Alexa Turgeon, Ms. Vienna Fleury are working on some dance steps. I believe we'll also have some ballet that'll be featured there. And so really, it should be a great weekend. And to cap everything off with that conference, many will be in town to see for the first time the Hezekiah Isaiah Bulla that are exhibited there in the lobby of Armstrong Auditorium. The visiting members will be able to see that exhibit and really take in the history that's there. Really, this whole event does promote unity. Well, that's a brief wrap-up of what's taken place in the last week. We'll take a short break, and when we return, I'll talk to you a little bit more about how you can directly participate in the needs of this work.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Is the supernatural intervention of the Son of God really a possibility? This pamphlet will help you study the answer. It's called The Spectacular Return of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior, but do you also believe in Him as a prophet? In John 14:3, Jesus forecasted, "If I go, I will come again." In Mark 13, Jesus gave details about when He would come again. He described the latter days, first tribulation, then heavenly signs. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming. The book of Acts says Jesus would return the same way He left 2,000 years ago. You can see that in Acts 1:11. The Apostle Paul wrote extensively about Christ's return and His literal worldwide rule. James said, "Be patient unto the coming of the Lord," James 5:7. The Apostle John said that when Christ appears, the first fruits shall be like Him, 1 John 3:2. And Peter spoke of scoffers who would come in the latter days and would willingly ignore the promise of Christ's coming. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe what He actually said as reported in the Bible, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. The book of Revelation describes God's coming kingdom in incredible detail. Revelation 1 says that when Christ comes down from clouds, every eye shall see Him. Revelation 11 specifies that the actual, literal kingdoms of this world will become the actual, literal kingdoms of Jesus Christ. Prove this earth-shaking possibility for yourself. Go to thetrumpet.com and request The Spectacular Return of Jesus Christ. The Trumpet Daily.
Philip Nice is an editorial employee who works really very hard to give members a focus for their prayer life. And he does so by reporting on different events that take place in the work. The details that he puts into the email that's sent out weekly, the PCG News email, is really very informative. And I encourage you to sign up for that if you haven't, and to really pay attention to what he reports on there. They serve a great purpose. I'd like to encourage you today to really refine your prayers for the needs of the work. Really, this is how each of us can personally and directly get involved. We can be creative in our prayers. We can be very detailed. It really is a wonderful way for us to participate in what's taking place. I am able to work with a lot of the statistics in various departments in the church, and that's why I like to cover that information whenever I'm given a chance to speak on this program, just to remind all of us the global reach of this work and all the different departments and things that need to take place. We have a great book that's out, How to Pray, and we'd love to send you a copy if you don't have one. Brad McDonald spoke on this book or used several principles from the book on the program yesterday about really learning how to be thankful, learning how to honor God and make that connection with him. And honestly, I think you can better appreciate just the personal responsibility we each carry before God to keep the work at the forefront of our thoughts and in our prayers. I'll give you a few examples of what I'm talking about here financially for the work. This comes to mind for me as I work in the business office. I feel a responsibility to pray about the finances, and I know that you do as well. I just encourage you to be specific. Don't just give the one-liner to God that, you know, we could use more help if you can send that along. But perhaps you can be more specific, such as praying that God would add new donors or coworkers. You can also pray that God would promote those that are already supporting the work, that they'd be promoted in their jobs and able to give more. But just beyond finances, there's so many other things we can pray about. We can talk about open doors with God for the Jerusalem archaeological projects. We could pray for more airtime or better reach for the Key of David program. And incidentally, on that point, in 2 weeks, we will add to our coverage of Australia with a network that's entitled One, O-N-E. It's an Australian free-to-air digital television network that reaches the metropolitan areas throughout Israel. It's part of Network 10. And we have a good time there and a good rate, and we'd really like to see that program add to the subscriber base in Australia. We have TV coverage throughout Mr. Harrison's region in Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines. We're always looking to add more to that, trying to make a concentrated effort to increase the number of subscribers throughout that region. You can pray about a broader distribution of the Trumpet magazine. Pray more about those that are watching, those that do tune in, would have a deep interest in the work and that they'd subscribe to the materials. And then that they'd use those materials to translate from being a subscriber into attending services with us. We're also working now on how we interact with those that do express interest in the work and helping to develop them to come along as members. Several on the staff, we've been talking about different ways we've done things and trying to analyze if it's working or not. One of the things we're really trying to do is streamline the process and improve our responsiveness to those requests. Again, these are all details we can pray about, that Christ would show us how we need to do things, analyzing and understanding how people are interested these days. And again, we just want to promote this work as effectively as we can. We've been really delighted with the personal appearance campaigns that Mr. Gerald Fleury is doing and that Mr. Steve Fleury is doing. That is a great follow-up for us, and it is really very effective in helping people come along. Now, we should be praying for more understanding, more revelation to be given to Mr. Fleury so that as we watch these world events shape up before us, we know what to watch for and how they affect us. And of course, as Christ taught us, we need to pray that God's kingdom come and that we can move on with this plan and end the suffering and the pain and the death that's really confronting this world. I'll speak about that for the last half of this program. But really, God needs to hear from us in detail. There's so much to pray about. I had thought I'd give you just a quick update on tithing and finances for the work. Again, that's an area that I pray for specifically. And I'm very happy to report that the finances are still very strong this year. The total amount of donation income to the United States through the end of October, when comparing to the previous year, we've enjoyed a 5% increase. That's really spectacular. In 2017, when we purchased the aircraft, there were several one-time or special donations that really bolstered the income. And so for us to be increased above that has really been great news for us. We've, of course, absorbed the cost of the archaeological project in Jerusalem earlier in the year. We have our largest enrollments at both schools. Again, the aircraft and the additional airtime. One of the other areas that we have experienced an increase in expense is through publications. I'll get to that in just a moment. I had a point here in my notes that I wanted to mention to you. Again, another specific area we can pray for, and that is the income through the end of the year. There have been tax law changes in the United States that basically remove the incentive for average individuals to donate to charity. Now, we can't afford a decrease, and I don't really anticipate that we'll have one, because those that give to this work are giving not for a tax break themselves, but to support what God is doing here. But please do be praying that individuals will continue to contribute and that they'll be motivated by the give way of life rather than tax incentives. December is an interesting month for us. It's the month that we receive the highest amount of donations in the form of tithing or general offerings. And again, it's probably largely affected by our coworkers and donors that do receive a year-end benefit on their tax forms. But January represents the lowest month of the year in that same category of income. And so it's very easy to get your hopes up high when you see the December figures, but then January is a pretty stunning reminder, typically, that we all need to be consistent. God always meets our needs, and of course, we will always rely on Him for that. His timing is perfect, but I really believe, at least it's my opinion, that if we're not praying about it, God can really test this work. We don't want to hold back the work at all. Now, we don't have to beg for money, and that's not at all my intention here. My intention is to really focus your minds on prayer. We don't have to have on-air fundraisers like you hear from so many media outlets this time of year. Rather, we just rely on God's law that inspires the way of giving. Christ Himself said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we're very thankful, being mindful yesterday, but very thankful to be able to give God's truth to this world. I mean, that's really a tremendous honor and a privilege. And so if you can include that in your prayers and donate where you're able to, of course, we're always very thankful for that. It does help us really expand the reach of this work. Now, I mentioned the increased cost for printing, and you'll read a little bit about that in Mr. Fleury's next coworker letter. I was just looking at the numbers for this year so far, 2018. We've printed 16 different books or booklets, and two of the new ones we've had to reprint a second time this year because they've been so popular. The New Throne of David book and How to Pray are in their second printing already. We ordered 238,355 books from the printer so far this year, again, totaling up all 16 of those books. We typically order anywhere from 15 to 30,000 copies at a time. That doesn't include, obviously, our periodicals, the Trumpet Magazine, Royal Vision, or True Education. We print over 2.6 million copies of those each year. We typically mail out about 750,000 books, booklets, correspondence courses, reprint articles. And again, that 750,000 does not include the periodicals. The inventory that we keep in the mail processing center, the building that this studio is in, we have a large warehouse that stores all of this literature. We have about 2.1 million books, booklets, and articles reprint articles stored in this building at this moment. And the value of that inventory is about $800,000. So just in the last few weeks, we've spent multiple thousands of dollars printing books to keep up with the demand. Well, I do want to take one more break, and then we'll kind of finish up with a Bible study. I want to share with you some of my personal observations from the devastating fire and murder and immigration issues that California is suffering through. It really is a wake-up call for our nation. So we'll take a break and we'll get into that to wrap up today's program.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Herbert Armstrong often said it was more difficult to unlearn an erroneous supposed truth than it is to learn a new truth. Even after 58 years of faithfully serving God, he had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22-24, that, in fact, God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Traditional Christian teaching has always assumed there is a contest between God and Satan, that God has been trying desperately to get the world saved. In other words, God had sent Jesus Christ at his first coming to try to win this ongoing war against Satan. Traditional Christianity has taught that whosoever will may come and be saved through Jesus. For many years, Mr. Armstrong partially realized the error of this assumption, but the full truth on this point did not come crystal clear to his mind until the last few years of his life. This truth, fully explained in Mystery of the Ages, is indeed mind-boggling. This book clears what has been fully clouded in mystery. It will open your eyes to the truth of these long-hidden mysteries. This enlightening volume thoroughly explains precisely what the Bible says about the seven great mysteries of life. It is free upon request. For more, visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Well, welcome back. We'll finish up today's program using some scriptures from the Bible. It's always interesting to look at our bookshelves if we have a lot of literature from the church, and there's always so many great books and things that we need to go back and study. We can go back to Mr. Armstrong's material, which we should do. But also all of the new material that we have. But this work has been around, obviously, for decades now. And even the older books that we have in our inventory from Mr. Fleury, books like the Ezekiel Watchman, which I'll use for today's program, really fascinating books, tremendous study. And we do need to go back and get those out and revisit those. If you don't have a copy of the Ezekiel Watchman, you really need to get one. You can obviously download from our website the PDF of that book or an ebook from thetrumpet.com. If you go to the library tab, we make everything available to you there. You can write in or call in. And again, most of you probably have a copy of this book on your bookshelf. Really, if you go back and look at some of the truth that's in that book, it dates back to the early years of this church and really foundational information that's carried in there. If you recall, the first chapter is very inspiring as it describes God and describes how God moves around. And Ezekiel was really given a unique insight into the nature of God in that way. And so that's a great way to open the Ezekiel Watchman book. But it doesn't take very long before it very quickly turns to some sobering prophecies, chilling prophecies, you might say, that are explained in our book, that helps us better understand the prophecies that Ezekiel recorded in the Bible. Without the aid of God's additional revelation, some of those obscure references are very hard to understand what he's trying to communicate. But you read along with the Ezekiel book, and you can prove. You can prove from your Bible, you can prove from history exactly what those prophecies are about. Now, there's three chapters in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel in your Bible, that I wanted to touch on briefly to finish up the program. There are chapters 7, 8, and 9 of Ezekiel. And I'll just read to you the first, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 verses of chapter 7. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Also you, son of man, thus says the Eternal God unto the land of Israel." He's talking to all of Israel. "An end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land." It's not a destruction that's isolated. God is going to correct the land of Israel. And notice as I read through this here, we focus on this all the time. Who's responsible for sending this correction? And what is the target audience? So just let the Bible tell you. Verse 3 says, "Now is the end come upon you, and I," God says, "I will send mine anger upon you, and will judge you according to your ways, and will recompense upon you all your abominations." God is a just God, and he is only responding to our sins, our ways, our abominations. Verse 4 says, "My eye shall not spare you, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in the midst of you." Why does God do this? He says, "So that you will know that I am the Eternal." You see, we are going to reap what we sow as a nation. And even as a church, a lot of this revelation is directed by God to the Laodicean mindset, and in particular to the Laodicean ministry. God needs to prove to us that he is God. And we are going to suffer the consequences for our way of life. That's what he's saying. Verse 5 says, "Thus says the Eternal God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. The end is come. The end is come." He repeats it. "It watches for you. Behold, it is come. The morning has come unto you, O you that dwell in the land. The time has come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains." Verse 8 says, "Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon you and accomplish mine anger upon you. And I will judge you according to your ways and will recompense you for all your abominations." And he repeats that same warning in just slightly different language as you carry on through that chapter. And so God warns us, even before the tribulation comes, that we are going to suffer because of our sins. Now, you've no doubt heard us talk so much about the state of California. And in many ways, as I was thinking about this program, and we've heard this before, really, California is just a type of what is coming to all of the United States and to all the nations of end time Israel. I have an article that I want to quote from the Los Angeles Times. This dates back to 2014. But if you'll see as I read through the article and you think about the fires that have devastated California, you think about the crime, the difficulties with immigration, the liberal politics, the liberal courts, God says you're going to suffer for your ways. You've brought this on yourself. There is cause and effect. You can't break God's law and just walk away from that. From the Los Angeles Times, August 2014, this article says, "The decline in the adult entertainment has been widely felt in San Fernando Valley, where much of the multi-billion dollar industry is concentrated." So this article from the LA Times is talking about one of the suburbs of Los Angeles. This is a more of like a valley or a geographic region, just a small part of the greater Los Angeles area. Now, San Fernando Valley, as it shows here, hosts some of the adult entertainment production. And in 2014, they were lamenting the decline in that industry in that particular location. Now, San Fernando Valley is just east of the location of the Woolsey Fire. And as you know, the Woolsey Fire, that burned about 100,000 acres. This was the one that forced evacuation of Malibu. And, you know, some of the stars made the news as their properties came under threat of destruction. Most of that fire is extinguished now. I think it's 98% contained as of this morning. But 1,500 structures were burned there. Now, again, not too far from that fire is the location of the Thousand Oaks mass shooting. And I read a story in the USA Today from November 8th, and I'll quote it. And as I was reviewing my notes this morning, I wanted to make sure I had this right because it didn't seem right. They reported that it was the 307th mass shooting in 2018. And at the time of the shooting, only 311 days had passed in this year. And their point was, you can expect a mass shooting somewhere in the United States about once a day. Now, in Thousand Oaks, 13 people were killed. Let me go to that USA Today article. Again, this is from November 8th, 2018. The title is Thousand Oaks Makes 307 Mass Shootings in 311 Days. And they make the point that it's about one per day. It says in all, 328 people died in those incidences, and 1,251 people were injured. The numbers include incidents in which four or more people were shot or killed, not including the shooters, according to the archive. So we get very specific in our statistics here. And about once a day, we can expect somewhere in the United States, four or more people will be gunned down in violence. That is just horrific. And that all took place just to the west of San Fernando Valley. Now, let's go back to this article from 2014 about the pornography industry leaving this L.A. suburb. It doesn't represent a decline in pornographic production. They've just moved on somewhere where there are fewer laws and restrictions, where it's less costly to produce this terrible material. The Times reported, although porn productions account for less than 5% of all film permits in San Fernando Valley, the industry has traditionally been an important contributor to the local economy. A decade ago, local economists estimated that the porn industry in San Fernando Valley, again, a suburb of LA, generated 10 to 20,000 jobs annually and had $4 billion in annual sales. 10 to 20,000 people involved in producing pornographic materials valued at over $4 billion. That was in 2004. Just amazing. I see another note that I had in here in my notes about the mass shooting. That USA Today article said four of the biggest mass shootings in the last 50 years, happened in 2018. Some of the most deadly are happening right now. It's almost like a mini tribulation. Now going back to the pornography article, sorry, this is a little bit disjointed here. Listen to this comment from the president of the Valley Industry and Commerce Association. So this is an association that helps promote business. It measures business. They're talking about industry and commerce. He says losing an industry like that, like the pornography industry, is going to have a hugely negative consequence. They're concerned about the financial harm of losing the pornography industry in the San Fernando Valley. Seriously, it's shocking that a responsible association like that is lamenting the loss of this. I guess, you know, if you don't have morals, then it doesn't matter. What they're talking about is losing money and jobs. And that's just terribly sad. It reminds me of this passage in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 19 through 22. It says, my bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Here's God's prophet looking to God, and he recognizes what's going on. He said, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long? How long, he asks, shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have not, or they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. California is one of the most blessed parts of the United States, and we've turned those blessings into this filth. And they've been warned over and over. I meant to research how many TV stations we have in California, but we definitely cover the Los Angeles area, San Francisco. We have TV stations throughout the state. And sadly, it's really one of our lower producing markets. It's terrible considering how many people are there. I wanted to move on now in Ezekiel and read another verse. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch, and I'm kind of misapplying this, but I wanted to inform you of one of the difficulties that first responders and families are dealing with during a time of disaster. Ezekiel 7 and verse 14 says, they have blown the trumpet even to make all ready, but none goes to battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. Now, we talk about this being perhaps a weakness in our cyber defenses, where our enemies can disable some of our communications and technology that renders us really very open to an attack. But think about this from the fires. This is an article from the San Francisco Gate, and it says, phones fail in California fires, highlighting cell phone vulnerability. This is from November 19th, 2018. The article says, as wildfires raged across California, mobile phones went silent as towers and lines succumbed to the flames. A little further down, it says, those experiences during the widespread fires that claimed more than 70 lives, as well as during and after hurricanes earlier this year, reveal a downside to the wireless communications upon which Americans increasingly are dependent. Mobile services fall short of old-fashioned landlines when it comes to surviving catastrophic events. And so we find that the part of the difficulties, you've probably heard stories of those that were fleeing the fires, contacting relatives, telling them that they were on their way out, and then the phone goes silent. And there's no understanding if they survived it. It really is a tragic, tragic event. And it does highlight some of our weaknesses as a nation, these technologies that we have. Moving on in Ezekiel 7, now verse 23 says, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Verse 24 says, wherefore I, God says, I bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. I mean, this really could apply to California in so many ways. God says, first, make a chain, for the land is filled with these crimes. It's filled with violence. And then he moves on to say, wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen. So again, we get a sequence here. We're going to self-destruct in this nation. And God says, well, it's just a chain of events, one after another, and all of that before the tribulation. Now, I've been moved, and I'm sure you have too, by the stories that come out of California. I have an article here from the LA Times again from November 21st, and they're talking about the fire that just devastated Paradise, California. And it's an article, they were concerned about the rains falling. I think I saw today the count that they've confirmed of human beings that died in the campfires, over 80 now. I think it's close to 85. There are still hundreds that are missing. This article says, it says, as of the 21st, so far they've discovered 81 bodies, people who died in cars and homes, people outside, probably trying to outrun the flames. But with 870 people still missing and more than 12,600 homes destroyed to comb through, their grim mission is far from over. We have so many souls unaccounted for. I believe that the search for remains is going to go on for a long time, said one of the state senators of California. He said it could be weeks. Now, they talked about the impact of the rains that are falling there. I looked this morning and they've had about an inch of rain. They were forecasting maybe up to 6 inches, which would not only create mudslides, but also really complicate the search. This individual, Deborah Laughlin, last heard from her son and his pregnant wife just after the couple evacuated their Magalia home. It's been almost 2 weeks, and she has no idea whether they survived. She said, "Please don't tell me he died." She said that she's clinging to hope that they'll be reunited soon. She herself lost her home in paradise. As if it wasn't enough, she's perhaps lost family members. This article says officials are preparing for a long, wrenching cleanup. Quote, "It's historic, almost biblical disaster," said the state senator on Tuesday. Old Testament stuff, right? It's just a tagline. They're not really even thinking about what the Bible says, but they should be. And that's our message to them. He said, "This is hard, but we're trying. We're trying. Let everyone know we're trying. If they find bones, they can call an anthropological team to determine whether the remains belong to a human or an animal. This fire is just unthinkable. Some bodies were burned so bad," this article says, "that they are difficult to identify." The sheriff said, "I suspect there are some that have been completely consumed." It says, despite the thorough search effort, the sheriff warned residents that when they returned to their properties, they could still find victims. The fires in California this year, just from January through November 18th, 13% increase over the five-year average for the number of fires, and three times the amount of acreage have been consumed as the five-year average. And the last 5 years have been terrible. Last year, about 316,000 acres were consumed. This year, 872,000. There is an emergency fund in the state of California that they use to help offset the cost of these fires. They have to contribute to this fund because they become so expensive. In 1986, they took out $15 million from this emergency fund to fight fires. $15 million. This year, so far, they've withdrawn $775 million. And that does not include everything that has been used to fight the ongoing fires, and we still have some of the fire season left. I have an article here. I'm kind of running out of time. This is from the insurancejournal.com, and they're estimating the insured losses from camp and Woolsey wildfires in California will probably be close to $13 billion. $13 billion. The state is draining its emergency fund to fight the fires. There's a lot of political fighting, but don't forget, please don't forget the toll on humanity. It is tragic, but as God says, we've brought this on ourselves. We don't have time to go through all of chapters 7 through 9 in Ezekiel's prophecy. Our book does. It does a thorough job of explaining all that information to us. Chapter 8 really focuses on spiritual Israel in this end time, especially the Laodiceans. Think about this verse. This is Ezekiel 8, verse 12. God says, or this is Ezekiel, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in his chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Eternal sees us not. The Eternal has forsaken the earth." Right? It's just the prevalent attitude, not only among physical Israel, "Well, I can do whatever I want. The lights are turned out, or I'm in a private confines of my house. We're just making this pornography in a warehouse." Whatever they think, somehow they believe that God doesn't see them, and they think that God has forsaken the earth. And in a sense, you'd have to say, well, yeah, he has forsaken the earth. Going all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve, Satan, as we talk about, Satan is the god of this world. And humanity is just blind to that. They search for answers, but as we pointed out, even those calls out to God where they blame God for disaster, even those are starting to diminish. We just carry on. Another mass shooting every day. Horrible fires. Terrible disasters. God says, "This is your doing. God is just judging us according to our ways, our abominations. Really, it's an amazing time. If you think about physical Israel and spiritual Israel, it is a time to wake up. We really do need to be focused on the suffering that's taking place right now, spiritually, most importantly, but even physically. One final passage that I wanted to key in on as we wrap up today, and again, please do pull out your Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet book, and study this material for a full understanding. But as you move into Ezekiel chapter 9, think about what God says here in verses 4 through 6. He says, "The Eternal said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." God is looking for you and I in our prayer lives to sigh and cry, and not just in a superficial way, but to recognize the toll that humanity is paying now for their ways. It is discouraging. It is depressing. Verse 5 says, "And to the others, he said in my hearing, Go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity." God protects those that are faithful to him, that are obedient, that are impacted by what's going on. But those that are casual, that carry on or contribute to this problem, God says they're going to be slain. He says in verse 6, "Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. We listeners to this truth, the subscribers to this material, God holds us most accountable because we've been told the truth. You could look at Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God doesn't take pleasure in this. In fact, it's, I'm sure, quite the contrary. It's about the most awful thing he has to encounter. But mankind has brought this on himself. This is our mess. It is tear-jerking. It is aggravating. It's absolutely awful. If you think about what we've talked about today from our perspective, it's difficult to deal with. But I encourage you to go and pray, consider God, and meditate upon the evils of this world from God's perspective. All of the family-destroying, human-destroying activities that take place on this planet, even when blessed with tremendous abundance from God, mankind turns to vanity, turns to sin. God is tired of it. He has to rebuke our hypocritical, pagan, godless, evil society. Again, we brought this on ourselves. I don't want to be too dramatic here. But what I do want us to focus on as we wrap up today is God needs us, those of us in his work, to focus on God and his thinking. He tells us to watch and pray. He tells us to be impacted by what we see, to sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed by our people. Now, we can have the most fulfilling confidence, the greatest sense of peace, knowing that Christ is soon going to return. And if you know what we teach, and if you understand what God is preparing you for, then you should be motivated to become more urgent. We are the solution God is going to use to restore hope, to restore purpose in lives. We know that conditions will deteriorate. What I read in the prophecies of chapter 7 through 9 of Ezekiel prove that point. I think if you put yourself in the shoes of a resident from Thousand Oaks, California, you try to absorb the impact of a shooting, a fire, a flood, you can better understand that there's no escape coming. No escape. California is a type of the tribulation that's coming to end time Israel. God is going to correct mankind. He's going to address evil. God's intent is pure. He wants mankind to know that he is God. This is Satan's world just for a short time longer, but God is going to change all of that. We just kept Thanksgiving. And so as we think about everything we've been given, be mindful of what's coming. Difficult times are ahead, but most importantly, we are created by a loving God that wants to expand his family. Relish in the works of this work. sacrifice. Deeply embed yourself in what we're doing and devote yourself to God's service so that we can bring a swift end to all of this suffering. Well, we've run out of time. I would like to thank you for listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio program. I hope you have a wonderful Sabbath, and be ready to tune in next week as Stephen Fleury returns.